From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Guy Raz. The tech world and Apple fans everywhere are mourning Steve Jobs. He died yesterday after a long battle with pancreatic cancer. Even as tributes roll in from other tech giants as well as heads of state around the world, it's hard to avoid one nagging question. What will become of Apple without its charismatic co-founder? Jobs didn't just rescue Apple from near bankruptcy. He turned it into one of America's most important companies and one of its biggest. NPR's Martin Kosty reports now on Apple's plan to keep the Jobs magic alive.
A few months back, Steve Jobs appeared before the Cupertino City Council to do a little slideshow about the new headquarters Apple is planning.
It's a pretty amazing building. Let me show it to you. It's a little like a spaceship landed.
The scene resembled the rollout of a new iPhone as the star-struck city council members gazed happily at the images of the shiny new building. But what was remarkable was the degree to which Jobs, already looking quite unwell, was still engaged with the project's details.
There's not a straight piece of glass in this building. It's all curved, and we've used our experience in making retail buildings. We know how to make the biggest pieces of glass in the world for architectural use.
Jobs was into everything, the products, the software, the marketing, and a lot of people say that was his secret. He didn't so much invent things as refine them. Leander Caney is a tech journalist who wrote the book Inside Steve's Brain.
Having people prototype things over and over and over until they get something that's almost perfect, good enough for Steve Jobs.
But this attention to detail could also be a problem.
They called him a terrorist because he was always meddling in things.
Caney says Jobs' micromanagement was anarchic during his first tenure at Apple. But when Jobs returned to the company in 1996, Caney says he figured out how to make his micromanaging style more productive.
The last 10 years have been characterized by a company with extraordinary discipline. And what's intriguing is how great creativity comes out of that discipline and that rigor.
For the last few years, since Jobs' cancer diagnosis, Apple has been trying to institutionalize that discipline. Josh Burson is a Silicon Valley expert in talent management and corporate succession, and he says Apple is digitizing information about key decisions during the Jobs years, turning them into case studies for future generations of managers.
What they're trying to do is essentially capture the essence of Steve Jobs and what he did and how he did it, so that people can maintain it.
The effort is called Apple University, and Burson says the company takes it very seriously. So seriously, it hired away the respected dean of the Yale School of Management to run it. Burson says the hiring of Joel Podolny was also an indication of the project's secrecy.
I remember when he got the job, we were all very curious to see what was going to happen, because in my space, that's a pretty big deal, and nobody's heard anything from him since.
While Apple may be able to institutionalize Jobs' management style, it's hard to see how it can preserve his other great quality.
Jobs was the first fanboy.
Leander Caney believes Apple's sales were driven in part by Jobs' sincere enthusiasm.
You could totally see it when he came out on stage. He was so psyched about some of the things that he was introducing. And that enthusiasm is extraordinarily infectious and, you know, helps generate those massive lines you see when the product goes on sale.
Caney says Apple's new CEO, Tim Cook, comes off as a bit dull in comparison. And in fact, just a day before Jobs' death, Cook's presentation of Apple's latest iPhone was panned in the tech world for not being exciting enough. Martin Kosty, NPR News.